The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcasting Network. Geeky programming for all the nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcast community forums and learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Podcast. I am the harder man with harder opinions, Andrew, and with me is the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan.
What's up?
And we have the uncommon writer, Sean.
Hello.
There he is. And we have the hippest man in the room, Glitch.
What's up?
As you can tell, we do not have a Dylan with us today. He is moving, so... and as you can see, both can't see
it. We're listening.
You can't, yeah.
This is the worst intro ever.
Well,
yes.
No, it's not.
I didn't even I didn't even notice Dylan wasn't here.
You know, all right.
Well, I hate you, Dylan, so you know he wasn't here for me.
Well, I can start it off like Dylan. Welcome, everybody, to the Wicked Anime Podcast.
No, let's just
I'm
move on.
Dylan. I love you, Dylan.
Oh, man.
So after that subpar intro, let's kick off the news by ringing the news bell. Sean, you ring the news bell this time. I open.
News?
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
So,
ambush me?
Surprise news attack. So we don't have a lot of news to talk about this week, so I figured that I would just break it up.
We do have a lot of things that we can excuse as news, though.
Right.
Go for it.
I think that's what we do for most of our news, don't we?
Yeah. Possibly, yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
But what I was thinking that I would start off doing for media is that the spring anime season is about to start in April, and I kind of wanted to go through some of my favorite ones, ones that I would think that you guys would like, you know, just go through them and
it'll also give some good ideas for the listeners, if they haven't checked it out yet, which they probably have, but if they haven't checked it out yet, it'll give some good ideas to what they might like and stuff like that.
Right. Before you go any further, I just have to ask, are there any promising mecha action animes?
There's like two or three.
No, just to spite you.
All right. Well, actually, then one that I'm going to kick off for that, Sean, is the... I don't know if it's a reboot or a remake or just a continuation.
Reboot.
They are making Space Battleship Yamato.
Okay, hold on. No. I saw news about that, and I, like, flipped out inside because I'm a huge, like, Yamato fan.
Yeah, so that is probably one that everybody who has ever watched anime... should watch.
Yes. So, including me.
What's it about?
It's literally about a giant space battleship.
It was from the 60s.
60s, yeah. So it was a very early anime, and they're finally doing a remake of it for the new generation.
But it's basically a space anime, you know?
Yeah. It's like a space opera almost.
Anime.
But with like a little bit of like a World War II kind of battleship feel to it at the same time.
The art style is very, very classic. They're actually drawing the art style for the new one. It's kind of like Speed Racer.
God. Yeah. Wait, is it going to be unlip sync and keep saying the same thing, talking like Mojo Jojo and
That'd be kind of awesome, though, wouldn't it? It might be. But that would just be like a satire thing. It would just turn into a satire anime.
It's kind of nice to see Japan jumping on the throwback bandwagon.
Well, but they have reasons why they should. Like, as far as American throwback things go, they don't really...
No, we don't have good ones to do.
No, Thundercats was pretty sweet. Thundercats was awesome.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Almost made it through a podcast with no Thundercats.
You brought that upon yourself, Sean.
All right,
so the next anime that I'm interested in, and I think especially you, Sean, would be interested in, too, it's an Edo period anime called Joju Senjin. The reason why I'm so interested in it is because it has the art style that reminiscent of
like Gurren Lagann and Penny and Stocking and all those animes.
It's not a Gainax anime, though.
It is not a Gainax anime, and nor is it directed by Hiroyuki.
But it sure as heck looks like it.
Yeah, it looks pretty and really stylish. It is 100% style.
Is it supposed to be like high action, or is it?
It is.
Yeah, okay. It looks like an action anime.
It's about like the eight shoguns.
The eight shogun, Takagawa Yoshi Mune. That was on two different lines, so I had to do that. Ordered suggestion boxes to be installed for commoners to voice their thoughts. After hearing their voices, the shogun creates a new magistrate unit, Mushi Bugyo, to protect the people in the heart of the to protect the people in the heart of the city. The series follows. Oh, jeez. Tsukishima Jinbi, a warrior scouted into the Mushi Baigyo. Okay. Jeez, Japan.
Yeah, so there's not really too much on it, but the art alone is something that can get me into a series anyways. Let's go back up to the top. This is the one that is most anticipated by everyone.
Yeah, everybody that's been like doing anticipation reviews, this one is the one that's on the top of the list.
It's called Shingeki no Kyojin, or Attack on Titan.
Okay.
And it's based in this city. Like, all humans are set up in these cities that are around these giant walls. Kind of like Megaton City from Judge Dredd.
Okay.
The reason why they're all trapped in these cities is because the outside there are these titans. And the titans, all they do is just destroy the human race. You know, they're just supposed to, you know, wreck stuff. And
I'm on a wreck it!
And so there's these parties inside these cities that go out and they hunt the titans. And there's this story based on this kid who wants to go out and join the, you know, the groups to go out and hunt them. The trailers for it look amazing. Like, there's such high action. There's, you know, scenes where there's fly-throughs of cities, and it looks really good for the 3D aspect of things, especially because Japan hasn't always been on top of their 3D in anime anyways. It looks like the fight scenes with the giant titans, with the humans, you know, there's a lot of flying around and a lot of hard, heavy-hitting warriors, you know, stuff like that that makes it look really cool, but everybody is super psyched about it.
Nice.
It's a production IG anime, so, you know,
surprise there. So, the next one I saw was interesting. It's kind of up my alley, but the thing that kind of turns me off to it is it's based off of a game, which I don't, it's not turning me off to the anime, it's just, like, generally, animes that are made off of games make me weary, you know?
Yeah. Licensed like properties movies. Don't do well.
Yeah. Okay, it's Devil Survivor, but so that was originally a Nintendo DS game, and it was an RPG, stuff like that. This one's called, the anime is called Devil Survivor 2. So, there's no anime series for Devil Survivor 1, as far as I know.
So this is a direct sequel to the game?
Yeah, but it's an anime. At least
that's interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was really weird.
That's pretty cool.
It is kind of cool, but, like, would you have to play the game to understand the anime? Or, I don't know how that's going to work. Unless there really is a Devil Survivor 1 anime, and that I'm totally unaware of. But the story seems like it's up my alley. It's about demon hunting and stuff, and I like that.
Andrew, you and I are going to be excited for Ore no Imato. You guys are not.
Yeah, Ore Imo.
Why?
Yeah, Ore Imo 2 is coming out, and that has me beyond excited because Season 1 was awesome. I thought it was so adorable, and I just loved it.
Yeah. For you guys that don't know, Ore no Imato, or the entire title, which I can't, is translated into My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute.
Oh, God.
It is not. No, it's not what you think it is. That's actually a satire title.
I remember us talking about that one.
I think it was on a Lost episode, though, so it never got out to the audience.
Yeah.
How many episodes have we lost?
Just three.
Just three.
They were good episodes.
Yeah, they were good episodes. Surprise! We have three lost episodes. Just in case we ever quiz you on that.
So, a rundown for the first season is that there's this teenage kid.
Yeah, I'll explain it.
You want to explain
it? Okay. It's a brother and a sister. The brother's older, the sister's younger. They don't have a very good relationship with each other, or at least they don't anymore. They used to, and then they kind of fell apart when they got older. The brother finds out, because the little sister is like, she's really popular. She's a famous model, or not famous, but she's a model in, you know, magazines in Japan for fashion and stuff. And she's really good at sports, etc. But she has a dirty secret that she's an otaku.
And she's not just an otaku. She loves dating sims. She doesn't just love dating sims. She loves hentai dating sims about little sisters.
And so she just loves hentai dating sims about little sisters. She loves what?
But she also, like, she collects figurines of her favorite anime. And then it's about her making friends among the anime community and her, you know, hiding her identity as an otaku because she's, you know, so popular and everything like that. And she uses her brother to help her hide her secret. And amongst that, they start to grow, you know, a better relationship with each other. And it's really cute. And I have the first season on DVD, and I've seen it a couple times now, and I just really enjoy it. So now that season 2 is coming out, they're actually going to be able to, like, continue the story on from where they left it off.
Yeah, it's a very, very cleverly written, very good jokes. You know.
Oh, and it actually has an animation budget. So there's a lot of actual. You know, it's not just talking heads. There's a lot of motion and animation to it. It's really good. Go to the top there. Yeah, that one. The Yu Yu Shiki. I want to watch that.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a slice of life anime. Very reminiscent to that of Nichijo.
So, and it's a comedy.
I'm hoping for the next Nichijo. I just need more of that anime.
Yeah, that anime was awesome, so.
There's a couple, like we talked about earlier, there's like two or three, mecha animes on here that I would suggest, but I didn't look too much into them because, so I don't really know that much.
There is a shoujo anime coming out, Sean, for Blair there.
Oh?
Yeah, it's called
Carnival. I'm going to pretend to be interested here.
Yeah, it's called Carnival. It's about a bunch of pretty boys and one girl who is like fantasy anime. So okay. That's all I know about it, but it's very shoujo. Like, it's very, very Seme and Uke male characters, kind of like Black Butler.
Okay. Hmm. For the listeners, I just want to point out, I don't watch shoujo anime. This is only in reference to a project I've been doing on the side, which we'll get into when we're doing what we're watching. This is not for me. This is from my girlfriend. I am not a shoujo fan. Don't read this that way. I am the bastion of manliness here.
We may,
it's okay.
Sure.
We okay. may or may not edit this so that Sean sounds really excited.
If you want to just keep, you know, relaying it thick that you're manly.
What? I said it
Don't
once.
Don't protest too much.
I'm the Michael Bay of this group.
Sorry.
Just running down a couple more that I'm interested in. There's one called Red Data Girl, which looks like it's going to be a romance. I want to give it a shot just because we don't have too much romance reference in our repertoire, and I just kind of want to give it a shot, see what I think about it. Maybe I'll do an early review of it.
There's a new Gundam series. Dylan might be interested in that.
But there's always a new Gundam series.
True story.
Eventually, this doesn't have to do with Japan, but eventually Wolf Children's going to be coming out on Blu-ray, and that's actually just speculation. I'm not sure if it's going to come out in the spring either.
Hurry up, Funimation.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, you're wasting our time. Please stop wasting our time. With all these stupid animes that you're releasing, and you're like, keeping all the good ones. Come on.
So let's move on to some gaming news. Which we don't have anything specific other than the fact that PAX was this weekend.
And we did not go to it, even though we, you know, live 20 minutes away from Boston.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a shame.
Well, you know, my big argument is, you know, I work in the gaming industry, or kind of, you know, in and out of the gaming industry, more the animation industry, but, like, I don't want to go to a convention that's about my career that I work in, you know? So, because it's like, kind of going to work and just seeing what everybody else is doing on their work.
All the better things that I'm not doing.
Yeah. And, like, that's why I'd much rather go to, like, an anime convention, because it doesn't have anything to do with me, so I can just enjoy myself. But, I mean, if I got to go to PAX, I wouldn't say no, that's for sure.
I'm going to be honest. Like, PAX East are both on my list of conventions to go to, if only for the reason that of all of the conventions that I'm kind of aware of, I don't think any other convention promote the culture of what we do more than PAX and PAX East.
Like, it's true, because E3 sure does a bad job of doing it.
Right, and it's not just the video games, it's the video games, it's the board games, it's the RPGs, it's the, mm-hmm. the war games.
Just games in general.
Yeah, it's right. just the That's being true. A geek and enjoying it and not having to, you know, it's just, it seems really awesome. And
PAX is definitely an industry event that's meant for fun.
Right.
Yeah, that's very true. Whereas, you know, E3 is it used to be for fun, but now it's for business.
Yeah, now it's a business conference.
It's mainly about the businessmen trying to promote stuff other than fans.
Yeah. Right. I used to be excited about E3, and then, like, it just, ugh.
Oh, no, us too.
It's such a dog and pony show now.
So basically what we'll talk about is if everybody – I don't think I posted it on Wicked Anime yet, but probably by the time this episode comes out, I might have. So all the listeners can know that I finally got myself a 3DS. It's super awesome. I love it. It's super purple.
Wow.
And hey, I like purple. So I got myself a purple 3DS because ironically enough, it was the cheapest one.
And it's super purple too.
Yeah, it is. It goes from like light purple to dark purple. It like gradients. It's cool. It's shiny. So the reason why I got myself a 3DS was because I could not hold back on getting Fire Emblem Awakening. And holy crap, is that a game. I would seriously give that game a 10 out of 10 because you can absolutely tell that it's for story-driven game lovers.
Oh, like, God. I've played some of the earlier Fire Emblem games, like the ones on like the Game Boy Advance and stuff.
Yeah.
And those things are just massively time-engrossing, amazing pieces of just, yes.
Well, you can tell that, like, when they made that game, they were like, oh, hey, I have the fans in mind, and, like, I have the actual player in mind. They made me feel like I was an important piece of it, because in this one, you got to create your own character. But not only that, but you choose the relationships that characters have with each other. So certain characters will fall in love with each other throughout the game and, you know, get married and have children, and the children will inherit
mixed skills.
Yeah. The mixed skills of the parents, and they'll inherit like the look. So depending on who you marry with each other, it was so well done because you never felt like your character was forgotten, and you never felt like the choices you made in the game were forgotten. So I absolutely fell in love with the game. I'm probably going to be doing like a whole bunch of art towards it. Not to mention, I love, love, love tactical fighting gameplay.
Like, I know.
Yeah, 100% tactical fighting. And I seriously, I conquered it. No, like I had my husband and wife combination of my character and the character I married, which if anybody else has played, I married Sully. Because she's absolutely awesome. No, I did not marry the Beast Girl, if you're going to pin that on me, okay?
I wasn't going to say this time. I swear to God.
Yeah. So my character, who I named Czar.
Hey, wait a minute. That's your D&D character.
Thank you. Yes. And I started another campaign and I named her Kendall. So, for anybody who doesn't know, we play D&D together and those are some of my D&D characters. Anyway, whenever you can support characters together, so basically two characters will be fighting in one square at the same time and supporting each other. Whenever an enemy approached them, they instantly died. I never got hit. Neither of them could ever die. It was amazing. They were so powerful. I could do levels, like entire maps of just them two alone. It was so fun.
Nice.
So absolutely get it.
Speaking along the same lines of J tactical RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to be doing another run through of Final Fantasy Tactics, like the original.
I need to play that. Need to play that because that is a tactical game that I've never played, and I need to.
It is the best one ever. Oh my god! I want to get a PSP because they remade it for the PSP called Final Fantasy Tactics: War of the Lions with upgraded graphics. They added a couple of more job classes to it. And
I have a PSP. Maybe I should check that out.
Yes. Yes, you should. Because on the PlayStation Market, you can actually buy the original version of the game to play on your PS3. And then I'm probably going to pick up like a PS Vita or something so I can play the other one. And I will literally play this game until I die.
Well, dude, that's how I feel about Fire Emblem. It was so good. And seriously, growing relationships, like making the characters feel like they were real and like actually interacting with each other. That really sent it home for me. Cause at the very end of the game, it's not a spoiler that I'm going to say, but at the very end of the game, while the credits are rolling, it tells you what all the characters did after the game. And if two characters were married with each other, it told them what their children did after the war, and it told them what they did as a couple after the war. and like, and when it told me what my character and Sully did after the war, I almost cried because I was just so attached to these characters. It was that good.
Nice.
I might need to get into that then.
Yeah, it was so fantastic.
Glitch, the Fire Emblem series is a great series of games.
Well, I played like Sacred Stones, like the ones for the GBA, and that was pretty fun for me. But I couldn't really get into tactical games.
Yeah, well, the thing that made it better for like, or that makes it even better, is because you get to create a little character of your own. A little bit of like a piece of you is in this game.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I like creative character stuff a lot better.
Do in the earlier ones.
No, it wasn't.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, those games are awesome, and their classes, like the way they evolve and everything, really cool.
Oh man, yeah. Once I upgraded my class for my main character, he became even more unstoppable. So I want to continue with the gaming news so that we can move ahead. Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate also came out.
Oh god, I want it
because I got the 3DS, not a Wii U. I got it for the 3DS, and it practically looks exactly the same as if you played it on the Wii U or 3DS. And it handles the same. You have a little bit of less buttons, but you seriously cannot tell. Like, they match the controls so well that it really is not a hindrance at all. And I will say, Monster Hunter 3 is a really, really fun game to waste time because, like, there's no main quest. You just go on guild quest. Adventure and just upgrade your soldier. Yeah, and it is fun.
You just go kill monsters, get stuff, go make new armor, go fight bigger monsters to get their stuff, to go make more stuff, to go fight more monsters. That is the Monster Hunter genre, and it is so addictive.
Yeah, I have a 3DS. I have a friend code. I have only two games: Fire Emblem and Monster Hunter. So far, they're awesome. Do no regrets about buying a 3DS.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it for gaming news.
All right. So I guess it's time to move on to some strange news.
Yay, strange news.
All right.
Again, we don't have a lot of it.
But we have good ones.
I'll start off with the recent one, and then we'll move on to the next one. Something exploding in China.
Ah, oh, no. Yeah. Who would have guessed?
Poor China. They're just going to explode.
Well, I mean, with the China exploding stuff, I don't...
The thing that is exploding in China this week is a condom vending machine.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry, right. What?
Boom!
A condom vending machine.
Not condiments. Not condiments.
The safest explosion ever.
Like ketchup and mustard all over the place. Condoms.
Condoms.
Explosive, well, for your pleasure?
Well, we've just hit a whole new level.
Is that it? Is there any...
There's like, really not much to it.
It just exploded.
Well, I'm sorry. Whichever brand of condom survived is the condom for Japan.
Yeah. There was a quote by the government... the technical specialists who installed it said that there is no way a vending machine could explode. And it did, which means that it was probably a crime.
They're fans of Chinese fans of wicked anime. They're just like, this is exploding. They're gonna talk about it.
Yeah. No, condoms, explosions, vending machines, Japan,
Ferraris,
and orgies.
Yeah. So there's that, and then I guess I'll just move right on to the next piece of strange news, which is Japan's Fetish of the Week. Yay!
Hey, finally, can we guess this one again?
If you want to give it a shot, you can go right ahead.
Oh, we'll give you a hint, though. This one has been going on for months, so it's not really that new. We're just catching up, or we're just talking about it now.
Yeah, I actually meant to talk about it on the last podcast, but it was literally just something I forgot.
Dude, that means
okay, Sean, you ready?
Three more fetishes since then.
Go ahead and do your thing.
Let's go. PVC pipes, kegs, and skateboards.
All at once?
Yes. No, a PVC pipe that looks like a skateboard or a keg.
I've got
any
nothing.
Guesses, Sean?
Nothing. it's just so out there that you just cannot imagine.
It's out there? How far out there is it?
It's not that far out there.
Is it exploding?
Don Knotts with a ball gag riding a dolphin on bluegrass.
Wait, on like the music or like actual grass that's blue?
Yes.
Okay. No. Why am I on this dolphin?
Actually, the fetish comes from a movie, the adaption of a manga that has been running in Japan called Panty Common, which is about a superhero who wears, like, the only thing that he wears is panties on his head. And so the new fetish for Japanese schoolgirls is to wear panties on their head. They literally just do this.
Nothing else?
No, they're wearing clothes because...
Yeah.
That's so fun.
That would be a little illegal. But yes, there are literally girls just walking around Japan with just panties on their head.
Yep.
That is. We should introduce them to Quail Man and Captain Underpants.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you think that, like, they would go through their panties a lot quicker that way? Because now they'd have to wash two pairs of panties instead of one a day.
Well, I mean,
yeah, and if you wear a thong, you're wearing an eye patch.
Well, one of them really wouldn't get that dirty, though.
No, probably not, unless, like, you know, you didn't brush your teeth or you sneezed in it or something.
That's really weird.
It is kind of weird. But ironically, it's not the guys wearing the panties on their heads, because that would just get them arrested.
That would just be creepy.
Exactly.
Wait, more creepy than, like, them buying them out of vending machines?
Shut up, Sean!
That explodes?
Wah, wah. But yeah, it's based off of a movie. It's like all the rage now because of this movie called Panty Common. And I guess it's just like a result of it.
It's more of a fetish fad.
Yeah.
Less of a, like, but I mean, here in America, we had, you know, fads like yo-yos.
Yeah, it is kind of reminiscent of a 90s fad.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we had yo-yos and Furbies and stuff like that. They have panties on their head. So
awesome.
How about a Furby fetish?
Maybe next
time.
Don't
give them ideas.
Maybe next time.
I want to give Japan ideas. Furby fetish. Go.
Don Knotts with a ball gag.
Riding dolphins on bluegrass.
Or playing bluegrass.
Either or.
And every time you guys say Don Knotts, I keep thinking of Don Johnson for some reason.
And that's as strange as it gets. All right, guys. So I guess now it's time to move on to what we are watching. Somebody else start, because mine's kind of long.
I'll go, because I'm only watching, like, two things right now.
Okay.
Just finished up Desert Punk.
Cool. Yeah,
finally
nice.
Got all the way through that.
I love Desert Punk.
I liked it. It was all right. I just, like, right at the end, like, the last four episodes, it decides to develop a plot. I was like, what the hell?
Oh, dude. Well, like, that's... I think that's just, like, Japan working its way through an anime that's supposed to be, you know, an episode of the week kind of a thing.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, what I really liked about it to start with was, like, the episode of the week thing. It actually lost me at the end.
Oh, yeah. No, me too. But, man, I just thought... Did you watch it in English?
Yeah, I watched it in English. I watched it on Netflix, so yeah.
Okay, yeah. Because I thought Eric Vale as the main character there as Desert Punk, he was brilliant. I think he did such a good job playing him. He was so funny.
Yeah, he was, like, really grating without being, like, unlistenable. Annoying. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing I've been watching is Oran High School Host Club for a side project.
You'll see, listeners. You'll see.
So I'm five episodes into that, and while it's not normally what I would watch, I'm gonna at least keep chucking through the. Is there how many seasons are there of that?
Just one.
Just no, one.
Well, technically, there's two. It's a 26 episode two season, so 13 episodes each.
Okay. Well, I'll probably, like, just tear ass through that and get through it. And then now that I've finished up with Desert Punk, I'm actually going to be jumping back into Kamen Rider Wizard, since I have a bunch of episodes saved up. I'm gonna binge watch that.
Of course.
Well, I gotta catch up on Wizard because there's a new season of Sentai starting, or has just started. Also, Akiba Ranger is starting soon, so I need to.
Oh yeah!
Oh, that's right.
That's right, man. Guys.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I still gotta finish season one or start.
No,
We started it, but we're only like three episodes in.
There's only like nine episodes. Get on it.
Yeah, I know. And, well, it's really good. I mean,
yeah, it's funny.
I'm with you. I'm, like, with you.
Yeah, I know. I really appreciate the humor.
Really, like, the thing I really like about Akiba Ranger is if you know nothing about Sentai, shut up, or Hentai, Freudian. Whatever.
Freudian.
Sentai, it teaches you. It literally teaches you. Because it has to hang a lantern on everything.
So. Yeah, it basically sticks its fingers in all the Sentai tropes.
Yeah, and it's great for that. And I really like Akiba Ranger.
Yeah.
So, Glitch, what you been watching?
I've been watching the new Ninja Turtles series still, and the end of Young Justice.
No spoilers. I still mean to be watching that at one point.
Why? It will piss you off the fact that they're canceling it.
Yeah.
Especially with the end. The very end, there's actually a stinger that's like, oh, yeah. You should watch the rest of it, but there's no going to be a stinger.
It pisses me off when they cancel anything before they finish the rest of it. They did, you know.
You cancel good things!
Oh, they cancel good things all the time to replace it with crap.
I don't care about Teen Titan crap that didn't involve them fighting.
All right, so I'll go into what I'm watching. Jonathan and I both watched, but I kind of delved into this. Thanks to, you know, our wicked anime fan, Gerardo, who was the one who brought it up, was Saint Oni-san. If you don't know what that is, it's hilarious. I went into it expecting it to be something different and came out the other end just in love with this anime. It's called Saint Oni-san. It's about Jesus and Buddha living or vacationing.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, vacationing in modern-day Japan. And it is just the funniest thing I've ever seen. Like, the jokes are, like, it's not shallow. There's no, like, stabs at religion or anything.
It's not sacrilegious.
It's not sacrilegious. The jokes are just really, really cleverly written.
Yeah, I like the joke in it when they were stuck inside.
Oh, that was just, like, the best thing ever, where they're stuck inside the house and it's raining outside. And they, you know, they're starving because they don't have any food. And Buddha's like, hey, Jesus, you know, I'll go get food for you. And he's like, really, man? Are you serious? He's like, yep, I'm going to go out in the rain and get you food. And he comes back in the house with rainwater in a glass and two rocks on a plate. And is just like, there you go. And, like, just starts using the computer again. And he's like, what is this? He's like, what? You make wine out of water and bread out of rocks. And he's like, yeah, I know, but you don't have to serve it to me like I'm some sort of demon wife. It was, yeah, and I lost it. I thought it was the funniest thing. He's just like, thanks, Buddha. I'm aware I can do miracles, but hey.
You don't have to serve me rocks.
Yeah. He's like, he's just like, you just served me rocks. That's what you did. So, yeah. So that was the first OVA episode of that, and I loved it. I thought it was so funny.
I agree. I'll continue watching it, too, if it keeps coming.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start watching it, then.
Yeah. Well, they only have one episode out, so you should definitely check it out.
Yeah, because I think the actual thing is supposed to start in May.
Like, so, I remember actually reading the manga for it. It was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what I've been watching, I've been all the rage about it on Facebook, if anybody's friends with me. It took me 8 long years, but only 3 days to conquer. I watched all of Avatar The Last Airbender. And I know it's not an anime, technically, but it's still relevant to our interests.
Yeah, but this is our show, so shut up.
Yeah. So what'd you think of it?
I loved it. Which is, it's funny, because Andrew hasn't seen it yet either. We didn't watch it together. It was me.
We're going to trade. He's going to play Fire Emblem, and I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
And I'm going to watch Airbender.
Yeah. I loved Avatar The Last Airbender. Everybody, I know I'm on the bandwagon a little too late, but now I agree with you all, and now I can discuss it with you all.
I can.
Have you seen The Legend of Korra or just The Last Airbender?
No, just The Last Airbender. I'm still working on finding, because I have Last Airbender all for free on Amazon Instant Video because I have Prime. That's a really good source to watch anything that you can find because it's got a lot of good options. But Korra and the M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong version is not free.
You're not missing anything if you don't watch the movie.
I still am highly intrigued by it, though. I feel like I do want to watch it just so that I can say I saw it. You know,
sit through it.
Maybe I'll buy the Riff Tracks version of it.
Yeah, that's the only way you could watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I, just out of general interest, I kind of want to see that version.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like Avatar The Last Airbender. The characters were written very well, especially Katara. She's like the most human character I've seen in a TV show in a long time. Just the way that they write her compassion and everything like that. I love Earthbenders. Earthbenders are my favorite.
Yep, mine too.
Excellent. I know Sean's...
Yeah, if Sean was vocal, he did. He would be firing with you.
He said fire. But I like.
I'm a fan of all of them though. Yeah. Because well, I do a couple of martial arts things. Yeah,
that's the thing, like, me, Andrew speaking, like, I've already anticipated, like, because I know all the characters in the series because it's been out for so long. I just don't know the story of it. I'm, like, I was just so waiting for Toph to show up. Like, because I've seen, you know, a little bit of season one, and but, you know, Toph doesn't show up till season two, and she's, like, the character that I'm most interested in. But she doesn't show up till season two.
But all of them are interesting characters in their own right, too.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely, absolutely. But I'm just saying Toph is, like, I was like, oh, I want to check out Toph. She seems cool.
She is. She's very cool.
She is.
Yeah, but I like the Earthbenders, too, because, like, I like characters who are extremely powerful, which could also be the Firebenders, but the thing about the Firebenders is, or at least the bad guys in the series, are driven by pure rage and anger.
Oh, see, but if you, like, you've seen the entire series, and you
have, but I don't want to spoil anything for anybody else who hasn't seen it.
glitch.
Yeah, that's,
but I love that series so much. I could go on all day about it.
I think I could, too. It's a very good discussion.
But you can't because I haven't seen it yet. Let's move on.
Right.
See if we can discuss it on the show, then,
I will. Once we will have a mega Avatar episode once I finish it as well.
We'll even talk about James Cameron Avatar.
James Cameron.
It'll be that mega Avatar.
Can we not talk about the movie, though?
It depends on whether or not I've seen it.
We'll talk about James Cameron's Avatar instead of M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong's version. We did the Shyamalan Ding Dong joke twice in this episode already.
Yeah, if anybody's bothered with that, we've already said it three times. So that'll be all for what we're watching, I guess. That's it. That's everybody.
Yep.
So it's time to move on to the Tapagotchi.
Yay!
So
we said that at the same time.
Yeah, in sync.
Twins, so it happens.
it comes with the territory. This episode, we are going to talk about guilty pleasures and the animes that are our guilty pleasures. Something that we're not 100% into the facts or into telling people that we like
or proud of,
but just is something that we're not necessarily into, but we have to like it, you know. And I definitely have an answer for this. I definitely have a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Sean, you go first.
Okay, so as far as my guilty pleasures go, there's two. One being panty and stocking for obvious reasons.
Oh, God.
I really enjoyed it. And then the other
That's kind of mine, too.
Oh, is everybody's answer panty and stocking?
No, I have another one. I have another one.
Okay.
The other one being, don't judge me, Sekirei.
No, I love Sekirei. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That's the only harem anime I watch. So
it's not a harem anime.
It is a harem anime.
Well, I mean, it is a harem anime, but it's like it's more of a girl fight act. Because I remember I did like...
It's a girl fight harem anime.
Yeah. Dude, no, that's not even a guilty pleasure. As you can see, I was like very excited about that. Like, that's not even a guilty pleasure of mine. I really, really just generally enjoy Sekirei.
Well, I mean, that's awesome. I just, from what I watch, Sekirei's a guilty pleasure. Because I watch, you know, like when I'm bored, I watch Ghost in the Shell. Which is, you know, just to you know, give you the perspective there. So that's where my guilty pleasures went. Let's see, that, and... Oh, and then obviously every Kamen Rider ever.
But is that a guilty pleasure? Because that's just your thing.
Yeah, that's true. I'm the way with Kamen Rider, the way is, what's his name is with Sekirei.
What's his name?
Yeah. I couldn't tell which one of you was talking.
Oh, it was me. Andrew. Okay. Andrew likes Sekirei.
I was about to say, it sounded like Andrew.
I think Thundercats fits in there better, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's not guilty for you. Oh, well, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Anyway, so those are my guilty pleasures.
Okay. Yeah. Awesome.
All right.
So who's next?
I'm just going ahead and say mine.
Sure.
I bitch about it all the time. I can't help but hate it, but I like it too. Love Hina.
Yes.
I love.
See, now, and that's another one that I genuinely like. And yeah. That is not a guilty pleasure. I genuinely like Love Hina.
I don't like it, but I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that for me is harem animes at its finest. Like, do you like other harem animes, Glitch?
Not really.
No?
Yeah.
Well, that's probably it.
Yeah, that's like, probably why, then.
I do. I like harems. For the most part, I like older harems, for sure, because new ones are awful.
I think Boku wa Tomodachi Ga is doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That's the exception. But I just genuinely like Love Hina. That one's actually not a guilty pleasure of mine. I would tell people that I like that one.
Like, I hate it more than I like it, but I just still find myself when it, I have the DVD series, I'll watch it when I'm bored, incredibly bored.
Do you have the perfect collection?
I do not.
No? Yeah. So you don't have the secret OVAs that actually ends the series?
I think we've talked about this before, right?
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Love Hina, again, the OVA series. For our listeners who didn't hear the last one, there is a four-episode OVA. It was done by a completely different studio. It's not in existence anymore, so you can't actually find it with Love Hina.
And Jonathan and I have two copies of it.
That's right. And that's why we're on this side of the podcast and you're not.
Be a fan. I don't care.
Yeah, I.
Well, that's my guilty pleasure.
That just goes in with like a lot of animes that don't exist anymore, but we have.
Yeah,
I'm proud of that. I'm boasting about it.
All right. Seeing that Sean talked about his already, I'll just go into mine. Yes, mine is Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt.
I think a lot of people like Panty and Stocking, but it just kind of like.
The reason
got into it.
Yeah, the reason why it's a guilty pleasure for me is because I'm not always necessarily into things like, you know, highly sexual content and a lot of extensive cursing, things like that. But the jokes that they say in that show, like even the sex jokes, are so funny.
Yeah,
like it's just so slanderous.
I think that's a reverse thing, because I actually will admit that I love Penny and Stocking because it's that slanderous and funny and clever.
Well, the thing about it is, though, is or at least the kind of way that I see it, the way that like the Boondocks did for racism and stuff like that is the way that Penny and Stocking did jokes for sex.
It's true.
I can see that.
Also really like the Boondocks.
I also really like the Boondocks, too. It's funny.
Glitch, do you like the Boondocks? Back us up here.
Oh, so brother got like the Boondocks, huh? Yeah, I like the Boondocks.
All right, I think that's my only one. The only one I can think of for now. I'll run through the bank of animes I like, but I'll let
I've got the ultimate guilty pleasure. Something that when I'm in a room of guys, I will never admit to, but it is a guilty pleasure. Or on High School Host Club.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay. Yeah. See, I do like Oran High School Host Club, but am I openly going to admit it? No. And I just did on the internet. but yeah, I mean, like it's got a cute story. Like obviously, like I think all the male characters are kind of creepy in their own way, because like it's very shoujo, but it's not the manga. Because if you don't know the difference between the manga and the TV show. The manga is very, very shoujo and very, very gross and very, very, not gross, like literally, but like,
dead serious.
But to like, yeah, but like to men, it's like, ooh, this is creepy. But the anime version of Oren High School Host Club pokes fun at the shoujo tropes. So like the anime almost pokes fun at the fact that it's a shoujo.
Almost to the point where it's a shonen anime reflecting a shoujo anime.
Yeah, like a shonen anime for girls.
Yeah.
I would say kind of a thing, but yeah, you know, like as we said on like the character crush episode, that like Haruhi is like a cute character crush and like, I don't know. I like the character developments. I even have my own little shipping that I like about the show as most of the fangirls do as well amongst it. And basically my shipping in the show is very, very opposed to what all the fangirls like. And I just think it's hilarious. But yeah, that would be my guilty pleasure. And I don't know if I have any more.
I don't know. What did you think of Cat Planet Cuties?
I liked it. I like it. The thing about that one is, I wouldn't call it a guilty pleasure, because I watched it and I was like, yeah, I like cat girls, but that was all right. Cause it was just, you know, it was, Like we explained in a whole bunch of different episodes, it was like, oh, look at all the boobs that they're showing us. Thanks.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
That's something completely new.
Yeah. Like, and it's like, oh, he fell in her boobs and now, like, embarrassing, and he walked in on naked people and, oh, clever Japan, clever. You know? So, that's not really a guilty pleasure. I just think that anime is okay. You know? So...
Okay. Cool. So that was actually probably our shortest top gotcha ever.
Yeah. Well, seeing that we did some clever editing, but, you know, Sean actually miraculously disappears halfway through that. So. Yeah. rewind the podcast, listeners, and you'll see.
Yeah. The magic of editing.
Yeah.
from the magic of editing, we should, Andrew and John have made Sean disappear. Yeah.
We should actually, like, sprinkle bits of, like, clips of Sean laughing and stuff throughout the podcast.
Go back into old podcast episodes, take out laugh tracks and put them in. Just, oh.
Ha ha ha, Ferrari. Yeah. All right.
So time for some shameless plugs.
Yeah, we start the shameless plugging. All right, everybody, if you want to tell us what your guilty pleasure is and admit what you like on the internet to us, we promise we won't tell, even though we just did. you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That is wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we have tons of updates. And, like, half of the people who, you know, listen to the podcast and don't subscribe to the Facebook, and people who don't, who subscribe to YouTube and don't find us on Facebook, you've got to, because that's, if you ever ask us any questions, that's where you're going to find out the answers. You can find us on nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find all of our videos and all of our podcasting information. And you can also find us on YouTube, obviously, with our review videos at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. And hang tight, guys. I know a lot of you have been very patiently waiting for Besom. Thank you for patiently waiting for Besom. It is still in the running. We are still producing it. Hold your horses.
It'll be good once you get it. Trust us.
Yeah. When it comes out, you guys are going to love it.
It'll be worth the wait.
Yeah, it'll be worth the wait. We promise. Did I forget anything?
Did you say the Tumblr? I wasn't listening.
No, I did not say Tumblr. Go to wickedanime.tumblr.com. That's what Victoria does for us. She's been on the podcast before, and she's very, very sweet. And she posts a lot of cool stuff on Tumblr, including our videos, whenever videos come out, and reviews. Hey, if you guys are going to be in Boston at any time, Jonathan and I are going to be doing Anime Boston. So you can come meet Wicked Anime at Anime Boston. Maybe we'll do some interview stuff. Keep an eye out. So we'll see you there as well. And we have a music section, the music section for you now. Did you have any ideas?
Yeah, I was thinking that because the consensus on Guilty Pleasure was Panty and Stocking, I figured I would play a track from Panty and Stocking.
Like our old theme song!
Oh yeah.
No, I was thinking that I could do D-City Rock, because that song is very innuendo-based and built up of what the show is really about, you know, yeah. Like with its... with its content and everything like that. And I really like that song too. Like, it's just, it's a good song and it's really catchy and I listen to it almost every day.
If you guys didn't know, our old theme song was a Scandinavian Aesox theme.
But it's not anymore. It's not anymore. Original. Yeah, it's so we can get that YouTube monies.
Yeah. I wrote it, by the way. I composed it.
Yeah, we know. You're in the credits. You're in the credits, all right?
All right. Just make them feel better, okay?
Yeah. I made that animated opening too.
Just fishing for all the compliments.
Yes, I am. Good job, Andrew. Pat myself on the back.
All right, guys. So that's it for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We will see you next time. It's time to sign off the only way we know how.
All three of us. I mean, four. Sean's here, too.
Okay, bye. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. The Wicked Anime Podcast is made possible by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating, and reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution in our monthly support drive. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com and click the support button on the top of the page. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all the Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social network. It's Wicked A!